Welcome to episode 12 of the Dean's Podcast, the podcast about issues shaping graduate studies in Canada. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Carolyn Waters, and I'm the Dean of Graduate Studies at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm also the president of the Canadian Association of Graduate Studies, CAGS, for the year 2009. Every month, you can listen in as I talk to other deans, faculty, postdocs, and graduate students about where graduate studies is going in Canada and internationally. In this episode, I talk with Dr. Brian Campbell, Dean of Graduate Studies at the University of Ontario Institute of Technology. It's been almost 7 years since UOIT officially opened, and Brian has had the unique experience of being the first Dean of Graduate Studies at a brand new university. So listen in as he offers advice about starting graduate programs from scratch. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, my name is Dick Sullentize, and I'm responsible for all career advertising and university affairs. Did you know that most graduate students don't know where to look for academic jobs? Simply because their supervisors haven't told them. Tell the PhDs and postdocs you advise to visit www.universityaffairs.ca for the latest job offers in every discipline. It's free, and it's updated daily.
So Brian is going to talk to us today, hopefully, about things he's learned and best practices for a dean who has an opportunity to start graduate programs from scratch. So welcome, Brian.
It has been really exciting, I can say. I don't know how my experience can compare to anybody else's. It's quite an interesting experience. It's 2009 now, but we started the institution, the university, started in 2003. And at this point, we have 6,000 students. So that's an incredibly rapid growth for the institution overall. We presently have about 350 graduate students. So we're about 5% of the student population. The graduate programs first started in 2005 with our first master's. And we now have over 20 programs. The growth trajectory from now is going to be quite fast because a lot of our graduate programs are only in first cohort, and the overall growth is going to double in the next year or so. That seems really rapid. It has been. How that's happened is really interesting because from the very beginning of the institution, we had a mandate to develop graduate programs. When I was appointed in 2006 as grad dean, we had already started one program. But from then on, I've managed all of the others. My mandate was to start graduate programs in all faculties. We have 7 of them. Our program range is, we have 2 engineering faculties. One is the more general engineering faculty. Another one is an energy systems and nuclear science faculty. Then we have a criminology social science faculty. We have health sciences, we have education, we have a business and information technology faculty, and we have a faculty of science. So we have a range. The program mix at UOIT is a mix of science, technology, but into the social sciences, professional programs, and so on.
So now are your programs, the master's programs, spread evenly across the faculties, or do you have concentrations of your 20 programs?
Well, at the moment, I'd say there's more in engineering. I'd have to do a list, but perhaps a third of the programs are in engineering. But that's only a growth issue because the engineers from the very beginning were extremely anxious to get their graduate program started because of the very, very close relationship between their research programs and the engineering.
If I was starting a new university and going to have 20% graduate students, what kind of advice would you give me?
If you were starting a university, well, I think you'd probably come and see what we've done.
Buy you out.
I don't know. I just.
So, what were the best things you did, and then what were the things you wished in hindsight you might have done differently? So you might tackle either of those.
We're not really finished yet. I mean, now it's getting a little more painful because we have to work at the sustainability of the programs, and I think that whole notion that you have to have a policy framework, you have to look at best practices across Canada, you have to rely on others outside of your institution. It's important not to be afraid. You have to, in some senses, you know, part of the momentum of the new institution, and you know, we have more junior professors than at a lot of other institutions. Now, we have hired key senior people to in certain key positions. And we have CRC chairs and so on and so forth. We have people that we brought in who already had established labs and so on in the sciences and in engineering. So that was key, but the culture, as you know, in a lot of universities, the junior faculty coming fresh out of PhDs are often extremely keen on research and graduate studies. So our culture is infused with this enthusiasm.
That's a good thing.
So I'd advise not to wait too long. I think that what happens is that the realities, you know, after a decade, you know, and we're starting to get into that now in our seventh year, you know, it's, you know, we've grown quickly, but now we have to make sure that everything is sustainable, and we work with the, you know, we have a positive working relationship with the province, and, you know, we've been developing that. But you can see that if you wait too long, then what happens is there are so many priorities. There are so many things that are important to do in education at university that the other demands will creep in, and then there won't be the space.
Or there won't be the resources to make that cultural shift into research. So I advocate that message that you're better to get that in the first round than to try and make a transition later. It gets more and more difficult to do that unless you got big pots of money to bring in people.
Oh, I totally agree. Yes, that's right. You have to do it early because if you otherwise, what happens? I mean, you can see, you know, when I talk to my colleagues at a lot of the institutions that have, say, you know, developed out of community colleges or other kinds of environments, or they've been traditional undergraduate institutions for a long period of time. You know, all of the demands, all of the things that you could think about doing have already expanded to fill every last budget hole, every last everything. And then what happens is that then graduate studies ends up being something you have to find new resources for, or you have to at least, you know, redefine things so it's clear that you're not really taking away, and then you have to engage yourself in that whole debate. But if you build it in from day one that this is part of the expectation, and then also build in the expectation that there's a synergy between the undergraduate education and the graduation, and we can see that the best institutions have done this. And if you look to that model and say, well, from the ground up, we're going to build a university that that is going to have the full range of experience for students, and you know, and we're not sure where that's going to stop in our particular case. So maybe we won't be much larger than we are, but the graduate component will be a significant footprint within.
And it's already there. That's the exciting part. It's already there. So in terms of attracting new young faculty, it's not that we will have them. We've already got them. Come here, do your research here. Work with the undergrads. Work with the grads. It's great stuff. So there. I ask if you've made any big mistakes.
Well,
there's a long silence.
I don't have time to think about whether there's mistakes.
Hey, what an attitude. I like that.
It's all forward, because now we have to build a sustainable system, and it's something that you have to do while you're building it. I know that I worked in traditional university environments before, and I know all my colleagues who do. And if you worry about having to get all the resources, everything organized in advance before you do anything, you're not. It'll take years to even decide whether to start to do something, and just having that commitment, the mandate. From the president on down, the commitment to grow the institution and to make a significant impact right away, and not to be shy and to not worry about. Obviously, we are prudent managers of resources, and we only can spend the money that we have. But we aren't afraid to take on this task, and now we're into making sure that it all works as a system. And I'm not afraid of that. I think it'll take another 5 years to settle that out. Mm-hmm. We do have new program areas that we will get involved in, but the creation of new programs, that's slowing down a bit. But every year you can see there'll be more PhDs, for example. We have 4 PhDs now, probably another 3 next year. And within the next 5 years, we'll have PhDs across the range of our research faculty. So it's that part of that build and the sustainability around that is something that the next 5 years will hold. And so I think it can be done in about 10 or 15 years.
When you look at growth going forward, I'm going to ask two different kinds of questions here. One is whether or not you see it as a growth of numbers in the existing programs or more growth of new programs. And so the second part of that question would be, do you have a strategic focus for the development of new programs, or are you still working this out as you go, in a sense?
Well, I suppose a lot of it has just worked itself out as we go. Now, as far as the programs that we started, they're not mature. They've only just begun. So that's where I think we've our first phase, the first 3 years of my deanship and of the office, was one where we were trying to start programs across a whole range of areas.
So you should get a natural doubling just by the fact that now you've got people in second and third year.
And now we are in a consolidation phase. We're really in making sure that the processes are there, making sure that things will work for everybody.
What about the notion of review? Have you got there yet?
Well, I mean, every program is reviewed. In the Ontario system with OCGS, every one of the programs that we have had to go through a external review process. And because of that, that's one of the things I wanted to highlight today is the importance of the quality assurance system. Because obviously we could not do what we've done based on the reputation of the institution, because we are new, so we just don't have any. We have to establish ourselves. We don't have a bad reputation. We don't have a good reputation. We just don't have.
Where's Oshawa anyway?
And where is Oshawa? Oshawa's part of Eastern Toronto, GTA. And that's one of the reasons why it's grown so fast. Toronto is growing so fast, and so that's why our institution has gone from 0 to 6,000 in 7 years. It's hard to know where it's going to finally land, but we've met the government target. We had a target for growing the institution to 5,500 FTEs, full-time equivalent undergraduate students, by September 2009, and we've met that. And then on top of that, we have graduate students. So that was our goal. As far as further growth goes, the other thing I think that helped us the quality assurance process, but also the whole culture of we aren't a startup institution in the same way that 30 years ago, 40 years ago in the 60s. We had startup institutions then that took a much longer time to develop any kind of graduate presence. The reality is now that the what is expected of university-level education is that there is a connection to research and graduate studies. All universities have, most do, have some kind of footprint on the graduate end, not necessarily as large, but some kind of presence. And there's a mature culture of graduate deans, a mature regulatory and collegial environment. And so the reason that I was able to work in my institution and to advance so much is I could rely on my fellow deans. OCGS meets every month, and I used my colleagues. I took best practices from everywhere. We quickly assembled a core of policies. We're in a rapid growth mode, so we aren't so worried about getting all the details sorted out. As long as the basic structure is there, and as long as the basic policies are there, that was fine. OCGS, when we had everything reviewed, was very happy with our policy framework. It was clear that we were putting in place all of the things that we needed to do. So that helped us out, because then we could then go to the government as well and say, well, look, we have everything externally reviewed and validated, and so we have established a basic quality to the programs.
I really appreciate this idea, but give it a chance. If it doesn't work, back up a little, try something else, rather than getting all the little pieces in place and giving it one grand try. So anyway, we all wish you luck because we are watching. Thank you very much for talking to us, Brian.
Thank you again.
That's it for this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with me about something you heard on this podcast or about an issue that you'd like to see covered, please email me at carolyn.waters@dal.ca. You can also leave a comment at the bottom of the page where this podcast is posted at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Carolyn Waters, and thanks for listening.